Hello, welcome. This is a podcast about football. Pod one of the unnamed podcast because we don't know what to call it and we're just doing this for fun. I'm Simone. Introduce yourself.
I'm Eddie. I'm Simone's one-time friend.
He fails to mention we're best friends. We're life friends, so they say. Have you ever heard that term before?
Well, now we're business associates, but yes, we're life friends. Let's go.
Jamar Chase just scored. Is he on your team?
He is not. I don't have him in any league, but I have Burrow in every league, literally.
So we're going to be doing this pod live because it's Monday night and we're just watching football anyway, so it's perfect, right? And we can just, you know, we want to talk about the weekend. We both love football. It's weird. It's like, it's bred in me. I grew up playing football, and because of that, I can't escape it. It's just like anytime it's on TV, I'm locked in, you know? What are your credentials?
I'm quite the opposite. My football credentials are limited to 1 year in seventh grade and then half a year in eighth grade of playing quarterback when I pretty much never threw the ball. But I love it all the same.
Did you run the wishbone?
No, we ran a lot of two-eye. Just power eye left, power eye right.
It's a lot of 12 formation.
Right. Yeah. Not very fun for a budding quarterback like myself. But it's all good.
Well, you have to read it between the lines here with Eddie is that he is a humble athlete that probably would have succeeded at quarterback if I had to guess. But I've seen you throw a football. I feel like you're not terrible at it. So there's probably more to it, but I digress. Thank you for giving me a brief history of your football credentials and why this podcast is good or will be interesting to listen to because we learned about football from an early age. And then, I don't know about you, I feel like I could tell from our conversations in the past, but we both have like an intuition about the game that I think it's just fun to have a conversation about. And I don't get to do this very often, right? Like, how often do you talk to our friends or anybody else about football?
In our friend group, I really don't talk about football much at all. I feel like you and I are the only ones who will willingly just, you know, waste some time in front of the TV watching a game, whereas the others tend to only watch if it's like the Cowboys or like the Super Bowl or something.
Yeah, a bunch of casuals there are.
Oh, yeah. No need to bother with them.
Two types of people. Just a casual watcher, and then you got us.
Decent.
The superiors.
The right way to live.
Well, anyways, we're doing this while the game's going on, so I guess throughout the pod we'll just randomly react to what looks like the Bengals coming back. It's a one-possession game, 28-20. Week three, by the way. This is week three football.
It's 31-26, I think. We're on commercial break.
Okay.
But wow. 28-20.
I haven't checked the Buffalo game. Is that still a blowout?
I'm pretty sure. I also haven't been looking at it. Oh, yeah. It's about 10.
Yeah. Yikes. How do you feel about two games on Monday night?
Oh, that's a great question. Honestly, I'm not a fan. It makes it less special, don't you think? I mean, a primetime slot is supposed to be prime. And so usually I think what ends up happening is one game is far more interesting. And right now we're watching that game. What about you?
Yeah, I pretty much concur. No zag take there because I've always appreciated just one game to focus on.
Yeah.
And it just feels like another money grab by the NFL. you know, they're consistently taking over days of the week. Like, you know, week one, they had Friday in Brazil.
Yep.
And that was awful. Supposed to be for high school football, but they're like, no, move over. The NFL is jumping in. That was a one-time thing, but still, it's like, it seems like it's a flag for what's to come in the future. And
I think so.
I love football just as much as you do, so it's kind of exhausting when you have football. You already have it Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night. And if you, don't add another day. Come on. Like,
yeah.
Trying to sleep. We're lucky we're in the central time zone. If we were at the East Coast, I'd be real pissed.
I'm East Coast now. Don't forget. So it is kind
of... Are you really?
I've been... Yeah. I don't know how close I am to the line, but I'm in Detroit now. I just moved from Austin,
okay,
where you are.
Yeah. So I live in Austin. And Eddie, I did not know that. That's a fun fact about Detroit, Michigan.
The East Coast time zone is
very fun.
It's brutal. The one-hour difference is huge.
And how are you liking Detroit? Are you a Lions fan now?
Oh, man. You know, it's kind of hard to stay faithful to the Cowboys, I got to say. Especially when you have, like, the Texas Longhorns being so good, right? But yeah, I love the Detroit colors. I love that shade of blue more than the Cowboys, to be honest. It's like an ugly navy that they never want to wear anyway. I don't understand that, actually, so if anyone knows. And then, yeah, everyone here, it seems like the Lions are the team of choice. You know, depending on what city you're in, sometimes it's like the baseball team or the basketball team. But Detroit is very much heavy, heavy Lions for sure. And that's kind of cool. And they're good, so I guess that's probably why, after sucking for so long.
Yeah. I kind of, from my perspective, down in the South, it seems like the Lions have really come up as the team, but I'm not there now, so you have a better perspective on that. Maybe it's seasonal, right?
Yeah, we'll see. We plan on being here for a while, hopefully, so we'll see how
but
many staying power there is.
You did mention that your team is the Cowboys, so let's talk about that game. I'm assuming you watched the Cowboys and Ravens.
I did, yeah. Not a fun time.
Did you watch the whole, like, so for people that didn't watch the game, it started off 28-6 in the first half.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And the Ravens were just obliterating them. And so did you watch through the blowout and you watched the little comeback they had in the fourth quarter?
I think I had a lull in the middle of there somewhere once it felt like there was no shot. But then, yeah, once we got a few more points on the board, I peaked up a little bit more. And then before I knew it, we got an onside kick, which you now have to declare. So that was really surprising. But I didn't really get my hopes up. I don't know about the rest of the fan base, but I never thought there was a shot. But I guess you got to at least respect the score line. But it never felt to me like they really were going to come back fully. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, well, in case you didn't know this, I love stats. I love random stats. In fact, I'll go up throughout my day and just announce stats to no one or to my dog to let him know how cool this stat is. Okay, listen to this stat. Apparently, before they face the Cowboys, Lamar Jackson is 20-1 against NFC teams. I don't know what it is against the spread, but I'd imagine it's pretty good considering he's won outright 20 of the 21 times. And now, you know, they go into Dallas and almost, they did cover. The spread was -1, but yeah, now they're 21-1 against the NFC overall. So for some reason, Lamar has.
That's insane.
Yeah, I know. It's such a number, such a
what?
Dominating stat that Lamar has against the NFC.
Yeah.
Maybe it goes to show that the NFC is just that much weaker than the AFC.
I think that's fair, but that's just so drastic. I mean, how could that even be real? I don't get that at all. But I believe you. I mean, I don't think the Cowboys have beaten the Ravens that I can remember. Seriously.
Yeah, true.
I guess you never played them.
In our generation, it kind of feels like the Ravens have always been a good team.
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching the Ray Lewis teams back in the early 2000s and thinking, like, man, are the Ravens just perpetually good all the time? And it's, I don't remember the last time they had a down year, you know?
Right. It's like them, the Steelers, the Packers to, like, a lesser degree, kind of. They've always been in that, like, weird, like you said, perpetually good.
Yeah.
If they're not great.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and then with that being said, you kind of alluded to it already. You didn't really get your hopes up with the Cowboys, but, like, do you feel like the Cowboys have a chance? What do you think their chances are this year, basically, to in the playoffs, going to the playoffs, Super Bowl, that kind of thing?
Well, I'll answer first from my perspective before the season started, because we're now about to start week 4. We're 1-2. Stevie just had what feels like his worst game as a Cowboy, maybe as a football player in general. but even prior to all of that, I didn't really have much hope. I think the media kind of agreed, at least nationally. And even speaking to, like, Cowboy fans on the internet or in real life, I think the elephant in the room was, like, we did absolutely nothing. And it wasn't even really an elephant so much as Jerry Jones talking about it whenever he got the chance. God knows why he feels the need to defend things that are indefensible. But, yeah, I mean, it's like we had a terrible O-line. I guess not terrible. We had a below-average O-line last year. We had a terrible run defense last year. And after CD, we had no credible threats for the most part. I guess Jake Ferguson, if you're, like, super into fantasy. But no, the team did nothing to address any of that.
They didn't do a damn thing in the draft or nothing, right? No.
Yeah, we didn't get a running back, which was, like, shocking. Truly, that was the one thing that almost everyone expected we would do, was just draft any running back. We didn't do that.
Yeah. Maybe they just believe in Deuce Vaughn that much. They're like, we don't need him.
Well, apparently his dad is part of, like, the scouting team for the Cowboys, which I didn't know. But I think somebody mentioned on the broadcast. Or I just read it on Reddit. But I know it to be true now because I saw it on the internet.
Okay, so I take it that sounds like an answer of you don't have hope of the Super Bowl. What about playoffs?
That's right.
What are the chances there?
I think we can sneak into the playoffs, mostly because we play the Commanders and the Giants twice. And, like, I don't think the NFC is really that strong. So maybe we get a wild card, but I definitely don't think we have much hope to win even one game in the playoffs. Maybe we get to the divisional.
Well,
but I don't know. Let's see if we beat the Giants on Thursday. We'll start with that.
Yeah, speaking of the Giants, Thursday night football, Cowboys are at the Giants, and the line is Cowboys are favored by 4.5 points. So that's, like, the feeling that Vegas feels like the Cowboys are a better team, but they can't really put a good number on how good they are, so they just throw, like, a number in there, and 4.5 is usually that kind of number. And also, traditionally, I guess we can segue into the next game. The Giants have traditionally gotten their ass whooped by the Cowboys. I'm sure you know that. Over the past 3 years, 2 games a year, they're 6-0 and have covered the spread. In fact, they've had an average margin of victory of something like almost 20 points per game. Something crazy. They just destroy the Giants any chance they get. And this is during the Dak Prescott era, obviously. So, man, do you think that's going to happen again this Thursday? Because I feel like the Giants are a different team with how good Malik Nabers is. He's incredible. Have you seen? Yeah, did you get a chance to watch him?
I still haven't really seen him, but you know So I just stopped from talking before the season started. You know how I feel about Neighbors. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think we have anyone that can run with him. Having said that, the Giants are the get-right game for the Cowboys for whatever reason. And I really don't think they have a way to stop CD either. So I feel okay about it, really, just the one game. Oh, my. Oh, I think Terry just got another touchdown. Yes, he did.
Ooh, 2 minutes left.
That's
two possessions.
Over. Oh, my God. Dang. Bengals are 0-3.
Interesting. Oh, well, that's a hell of a catch.
Give me the Cowboys to cover on Thursday, is what I'm saying.
To cover?
Yeah.
I've noticed, I've done some betting here and there. I'm a degenerate occasionally. And I've never had success on Thursday nights. So.
That's fair.
And to add to the confusion, did you see the highlights of the Browns-Giants?
No, I didn't.
All right, so what happened in that game is the very first play of the game was a touchdown, Deshaun Watson to Amari Cooper. Because there was a turnover on the kickoff, the new dynamic kickoff, the Giants fumbled it. And then it was picked up by the Browns, and then the Browns scored immediately, first play from scrimmage. So they started the game. The Browns were given a 7-point handicap, and still the Giants came back and won that game. Neighbors had 2 touchdouns, 8 catches, 80 yards, something like that. And then I watched the game as well. He's unguardable. I mean, it's clear that the Giants are doing everything they can to get him it seems like every play is designed for him if it's not a run play. And then, you got Wandell Robinson, their slot guy, just lurking here and there, getting catches. But for the most part, man, I don't know anyone in the league. Maybe like Joey Porter in Pittsburgh or Jalen Ramsey in Miami can cover this guy. I don't think so, though, because he looks dynamic.
I think with the Giants right now, all you can really do, and that is what I hope the Cowboys do, just double him all night. Just bracket him and ask literally anyone else to be you, whether it's Singletary, Wandale. I mean, none of those guys are really that scary, especially with Daniel Jones throwing the ball.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I saw that Neighbors had something like a 55, maybe 60% target share, which is insane. It's only 3 games.
Wow.
But that is just ridiculous.
Still, yeah. Yeah. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that stat and then just Neighbors in general just gives me pause to think that, and it's Thursday Night Football, short rest for the Cowboys and the Giants, for both of them. And you know how short rest goes. Thursday football, it just creates weirdness. And I get really spooked. Like, I've bet it before, and it just never seems to come out the way anybody expects. So I've just avoided it, and I feel like there's a chance with the Neighbors X factor that the Giants could make some noise, maybe cover, and surprise the Cowboys.
Yeah.
It's in New York, yeah. MetLife Stadium. Who knows, you get another... Isn't that the stadium that Dak fucked his ankle up?
I'm not sure. Maybe.
I wouldn't be surprised. There's a curse, apparently. Because they play on turf in FedEx Field, so it's known for injuries.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think I refuse to bet on that game. I think my gut says that the Giants are going to cover it because the Cowboys aren't going to show up to play. They're going to come on the road. You know, they just got their ass whooped, and the Giants are coming home. I feel like that they have discovered if we just give Neighbors the ball, we're going to have a good chance of winning. So that's just my general feel of the game. But anyways, did you know, back to the Browns-Giants, that this Browns offense is the worst offense in the Browns history since year 2000. So think about all the quarterbacks that have come through Cleveland all of those quarterbacks were slightly, if not much better, than Deshaun Watson is right now.
My guy Colt McCoy repping. Let's go.
So we're a couple Longhorns over here. So any chance we get, we are going to toot that horn.
Yes.
But yeah, man, that Browns offense is anemic. And Deshaun Watson is just, well, I just can't stand the dude for obvious reasons.
Can anyone? Yeah. I don't think anyone's rooting for that guy, including Cleveland. Although, I guess, who knows?
Yeah. That's got to be tough. Imagine being a Cleveland fan and dealing with that. I don't know anyone that's a Cleveland fan, but I'd be interested to have a conversation about about him, like how they feel about him. They just kind of sweep it under the rug, all that stuff. But,
well, it'd be one thing if he was helping them win, right? But you got Joe Flacco. What was the stat that you gave me? Something like 5 out of 6 games.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus passing yards last year.
Uh-huh.
And now you got Deshaun Watson with pretty much the same offense. And they look so bad.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys destroyed them. Think about that. For as bad as the Cowboys have been, they made us look great.
Now, do you think Nick Chubb is going to come back this season?
You mean this season? I don't know.
Even if he does, do you think it would make a difference?
No, that I don't think so. I think he's probably seeing like the last few years of his career, if he's lucky, unfortunately. That was one of the worst injuries I've ever seen.
Oh, man. That was absolutely gruesome. Yeah, it would be remarkable if he comes back and plays football in general, much less at the level he was playing at when he first, before he got injured.
Yeah, and even if he does become ready in like week 12 or whatever, you got to assume the Browns by that point are just wanting to tank, right? I really don't see them turning it around.
Yeah.
So why even put him out there?
Yeah, and if you look at the stats, you see that Watson's been sacked the most in the first 3 games of any season ever. And he's under duress, like, constantly from watching the game. He's just, I mean, they played some good pass rushes. They just played, you know, they played Micah Parsons. They played Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns in New York. So, granted, they've played some pretty decent defensive lines, but man, if I was Nick Chubb, I wouldn't want to come back to an offensive line that is really struggling.
No, absolutely not. Part of me thinks the line is maybe wanting to get Deshaun Watson killed too. But I don't know. Also, Mark Cooper has looked pretty bad too. I know he just had a good game finally, but
yeah.
I've never been the biggest Amari guy, going back to when he was in Dallas. So I think he's also teetering on the edge of his career.
How would you feel about a Cooper trade back to Dallas?
It depends what we pay. I think I did read that that's a rumor or whatever, but
yeah,
I don't know. Anything more than like a 4th, even 5th round pick would make me a little uncomfortable. I think I would like him a lot more now that CD's the obvious number one and we have nothing to work with after that. But I was not a fan of him being our lead guy, personally. I know he had some big games, but
yeah, I mean, I don't, that's just a rumor, but I don't think that's what's going to fix the Cowboys. I'm not as in tune with the Cowboys as you are, but it seems like the best thing for the Cowboys is to just remove Jerry from any power of making moves and just have a traditional organization.
That's what any Cowboys fan will tell you.
Yeah.
But that's never going to happen. No, he's got too much money.
Well, they're consistently the highest earning organization in football. I mean, every year. So
yeah,
maybe the conspiracy theorists would say that Jerry's getting exactly what he wants. He doesn't actually care about the team succeeding. But I don't know, according to the interviews and what everybody says in the media, kind of seems like he does care. He's just incompetent.
Yeah. So I think that's what it is. He probably wants us to be good. More games in the playoffs, more money. But sure, yeah, he's a great businessman. That's what he's known for.
Speaking of great businessmen, you want to talk about my team?
Yes, finally. Let's move on.
Great businessmen like Dennis Allen. I'm kidding. Dennis Allen's the head coach of the Saints.
I hate that guy.
He is the worst, the absolute worst. And somehow we started off the season 2-0, just looking like a completely different team. And because of Kubiak, the new offensive coordinator, I mean, the offense looks incredible until they faced the freaking Eagles. Which I remember I was asked about how I felt about the Saints before that Eagles game, and I was really hesitant, and I said, yeah, I'm still not really sold on the Saints, and I feel like the reason I feel that way is because obviously history shows with Derek Carr, he's just, he can do a lot of things well, but when he's under pressure, man, he's a bad quarterback. I watched the whole game, and that's really what it took, yeah. And the Saints were also under duress like Deshaun Watson was, and Jalen Carter had a hell of a game, and Brandon Graham, that old dude, had a heck of a game, and they just really made it difficult for the Saints to execute their motion offense, and it was exposing. I feel like it was sort of a recipe, like a blueprint for the rest of the NFC South, at least, how to beat the Saints.
Yeah.
It's not like that. It was probably an obvious observation, but it was exposed in the right way by the Eagles. And now I feel like this is probably a page turner. Like, I'm not too hopeful. I feel like people are going to start. Yeah. Because our defense is good. Don't get me wrong. Our defense is going to give us a chance every game. But from what I've seen with Derek Carr, man, I think you need to, in this league, you have to be able to throw under pressure. I mean, that's what makes Mahomes so good, what made Brady so good. And what, I mean, dude, you can't put pressure on Burrow. That's what makes him good, right? And,
right.
Yeah, it's essential. And he's never shown that he can do that. So that's why. And then it was shown again, exposed again against the Eagles. That's why I feel like it's unlikely. So we'll see.
That's kind of surprising to hear. I thought you were going to come out guns blazing with your team. I don't know. I mean, the NFC South, who's going to beat them? Baker finally looks like the Baker that I know.
Yeah.
After getting walloped. I mean, the Panthers are the Panthers. And then the Falcons, I just don't trust them. Like, they got all this talent, but it still feels like they're the same. So I was pretty cold on the Saints coming into the season, but honestly, they're not bad. I mean, I don't like Dennis Allen. I don't like Derek Carr. But you got a great O-line, and you got a great defense, and a great running back. So it feels like the Cowboys of like the 2015, 2017 era of the NFL, back when it was just like, you know, six offensive linemen from the first round and a strong running back and a decent defense. It's a good recipe. But I mean, I understand the hesitation too. Like, Carr can really just push a few buttons. I will say, I think you need to involve Olave a little bit more, in my opinion.
He finally had a good game, but I agree.
Yeah.
He's our best receiver. I mean, yeah, Shaheed is a good pass catcher too. I'm glad he's getting his, but Burrow scored, makes it a one possession game. They have to do an onside kick now.
Yeah. And they got to declare it. That's going to make a big difference. JK.
By the way, small tangent. How do you feel about the dynamic kickoff? You like it?
Well, Jake, I'm kind of indifferent. I've never been the biggest kickoff guy. Jamie hates it, by the way. she actively is disturbed by it, which I kind of understand. It's pretty weird to see, but I don't know. It feels the same way for me, at least. Do you have any opinions?
Yeah, it feels less exciting. It's weird seeing the ball kicked. I'm not used to the ball kicked and then nobody moves. Like, there was some excitement to when the ball is kicked and everybody sprints as soon as the ball is kicked. It felt like a charge, like, type of deal. Like, you're going into battle. That feeling of going to war with your guys is kind of eliminated without the kickoff, the traditional kickoff. Now you have to wait. That feels weird to me. I don't know if I'm ever going to get used to that, because now you just have to wait until they receive it, and then they can gun down the sidelines and try to make the tackle. And I'm also skeptical, based on what I've seen so far, that the stats are going to be any better with concussions. I mean, how much have you seen? Because I feel like I've seen enough to see that there's been a lot of high collision, high impact collisions, even with the dynamic kickoff. They're still sprinting, you know, full blast all the way down the field and making crazy collisions. I feel like it's not going to be that much different. Do you?
I think you're right. I was actually reading an article about this before the season started, and it was including quotes from, like, anonymous executives and coaches. And they raise a great point, which is that because of the, like, shortened field for the kicking team, it's more likely that the receiving team is just going to whiff on some blocks, which then means that those other guys have more potential to just ramp up to full speed and then lay out whoever gets the ball.
That makes sense.
But I guess the season will bear out and we'll see, but I tend to agree. I don't think it's much safer.
And you know the NFL, even if it is one season of relatively small sample size, we're going to need more years for them to make a change. If they're going to need more data, you know, they're not going to just suddenly change it back. They've kind of made that change. So yeah. I'd be surprised if they changed it back.
Yeah, I don't think it's coming back. I like your point, though. When you said that thing about, like, the hype surrounding the kickoff team and how they run, I forgot that in college especially, there were teams that sort of had, like, a ritual with the kickoff where,
yeah,
like, some teams would have, like, a little huddle and then run out simultaneously with the kicker, which was kind of cool. And then other teams would do, like, the swaying of the arms,
yeah,
which I kind of like, too. But, yeah, you're not going to get that anymore.
It's all gone. And then you don't have the surprise onside kicks anymore. This is how much of a football junkie I am, Eddie. Listen to this. I was not working, you know, and I just decided to watch Pat McAfee highlights. That dude was a monster.
Really?
He's very good. He's very much deserving of being on the ballot for the Hall of Fame.
I thought he was a kicker. Am I wrong?
He's a punter. But he was responsible for kickoffs. He's got a big leg, obviously. And Pat McAfee was, first of all, he was an awesome football player. Like, dude had no fear and would go down the sidelines and try to make a hit if he could. And he was a good enough athlete to make a tackle, I should say. So it was cool watching that. But he has a lot of fun, surprising kickoffs. Like, I don't think he had one in the Super Bowl against the Bears. But I think that season he had one where he faked a deep kick and then he recovered an onside kick completely by himself. He just kicked it 10 yards and then he fooled the other team to thinking it was a deep kick. So they started backtracking, but he kicks it 10 yards and he just kind of, like, you know, he covers it. And then once it hits the 10 yard mark, he falls on it and then boom.
Really?
The Colts get the ball. Yeah. Look him up. It's fun.
I'll have to see that. Yeah.
But anyways, that's all to say that we don't get that anymore. You can't surprise anybody with some creative onside kick calls. I mean, I guess you could technically try to fool what side you're going to go to, but cat's out of the bag. They're going to set up their best hands on either side. So that's a bummer. No.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. I'll miss the surprise onside. And Dan Campbell has one less trick in his bag, which is a loss for everyone.
Oh man, Dan Campbell. Let's move on to that game. Lions Cardinals. Man, there was a. Did you watch that game?
Nope, I saw some highlights though.
So there was a play. There was a point in I think the second quarter. I could be wrong. Somebody can correct me. Where they had a fourth and I want to say fourth and three and deep in their own territory. Like I want to say within inside their own 30. And this fucking guy.
Oh,
fakes
yeah, I did
it.
See this.
Did you see that? He does a fake punt pass. Like, no one in the NFL would do this right now except Dan Campbell.
Except them.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of teams like the Eagles who will do analytics stuff, but I feel like Dan doesn't do that. He's just like, whatever his gut says, he's going to go out and do it. And it's fun as hell. You know?
Well, I think he employs his analytics staff as like a confirmation bias kind of thing, which
really?
I kind of respect. Yeah. It's almost like a gambler's mentality. You know, he loves to go for it on fourth down, right? So he's going to point to analytics and say, yeah, this makes sense.
This is the right decision, right?
Exactly.
Okay, let's do it.
Of course it is.
That I can see that.
Fun little irrelevant fact. On that play, that fake punt, they completed it to this little rookie called Sione Vaki. I think that's how you say his name. Rookie running back out of Utah. He's on one of my dynasty teams. The only other dynasty team besides the league that we're in, Simone. But I have him on my taxi. And we have much larger rosters in that league, so I can afford to have, like, these randoms. But, yeah, hopefully he impressed Dan with that catch and first down.
That is a deep cut, man.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't even heard of that guy until now.
Yeah, I'll probably never hear about him again. But that's what Taxi Squad is for.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, so the Cardinals went into this game plus three dogs. And I bet on that. I decided to say $25. Let's see if we can do it. And my reasoning was because I don't know how much Cardinals you've seen, but man, they looked good.
They do look good.
I texted you, right? And I'm like, dude, Kyler's looking great. And you were worried about Marvin Harrison, and then he just pops off. He pops off again. That offense looks great. So I was more betting on the Cardinals continuing that. But I also ignored this damning stat that when the Lions are coming off a loss, Dan Campbell is like almost undefeated against the spread, whether he's a favorite or not. And that was a mistake because they end up winning by 7. So lost that bet. But I don't know. I think the Lions are good. But
probably,
I don't know how good they are. Like, how good do you think they are? Like, are they legit?
I think it's fair to not be in love with them. But then you just look at the NFC, and you really don't have a choice, right? I mean, the Niners look like shit. Cowboys look like shit. The Eagles... they're fine, I guess, but it seems like no one can beat the Lions right now. Or not that that's, like, you know, locked in, but if you play them against any NFC team right now, I don't feel good that they're going to lose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In a way, it's like their quarterback is the most limiting factor. And I've kind of come around on Goff after being a hater for so long. He's a good QB. He's like Derek Carr, but better, you know? Not great against the blitz.
No.
but that's who he is. And you surround him with, like, all these great weapons and, like, the best O-line we've ever seen. Of course it's going to be great. So, yeah.
So you've seen enough to see that. You've seen that offensive line, right? You've seen enough to see how good they are. Good God, they're dominant. I mean, they just...
Yeah.
Whew. It's fun to watch, too. That's the kind of football I really like to watch, is really good offensive, in the trenches play, defensive struggles. Do you like defensive struggles?
I do, actually. And I guess you kind of said what I was failing to say just now, which is, like, if you imagine your team, whatever that is, against the Lions, it feels so helpless because of that O-line. Like, it's the most boring thing you'll ever watch. But if you're a Lions fan, it's great. They're just going to get 8 yards every time.
Yeah.
And then when they really need to, play action, Amon-Ra, Jameson Williams, Laporta, whatever you want.
What do you think the Super Bowl odds are for the Lions and that wonderful offensive line and defensive line?
Are you looking at it right now?
Yeah, I just looked it up.
Super Bowl odds. I'd say minus 170. Is that too generous?
Way too generous.
Okay, what is it? I'm not the best gambler.
How about this? Who do you think is above them in Super Bowl odds
in the NFC? Okay, well, that gave me the answer that they're not the favorite, I guess. I can't see anyone except San Francisco, to be honest.
Okay, according to...
I guess Green Bay, but I don't...
ESPN Sports Betting, by NFC teams, San Francisco is still the top NFC team. Philadelphia is still the number two team, which I don't agree with. That's and then the Lions. Either. The Lions are third, and they're plus 475. They're very close to the Eagles. The Eagles are plus 425, but San Francisco is the heavy favorite to go to the Super Bowl.
What's San Francisco at?
Plus 260. Plus 260.
That feels pretty generous right now, but...
Yeah, I know, considering how they're playing. It might be because San Francisco's... They've got a lot of injuries, man. Like, George Kittle didn't play in that game against the Rams, and neither did Debo Samuel.
That's true. It seems like their whole offense is out. But I feel like that matters, you know? I don't think they're all just going to magically find their health and then pick up where they left off. I think they may have a real case of Super Bowl hangover. And I personally have, like, genuine concern that we're not going to see McCaffrey at all this season. It just seems fishy, like, the lack of news. And like, they're hiding something, you know? And then I read today that he's, like, in Germany seeing a doctor, a specialist.
That's if you're going to Europe... You might. Yeah, there might be issues.
It's week four and you're in Europe. That's not what we want.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of concern. If I was a San Francisco fan, I would be concerned as hell because even with the defense playing as well as they did, they've got most of their deep. They've got Hufanga back, that amazing safety. He played in that Rams game. And that Rams offensive line is atrocious, but they came back and they won that game, which...
McVay. Yeah. I just give that to McVay.
Yeah, you got to give him a lot of credit, but still, you got to be concerned. I'm more concerned, like, when it comes to the Niners, the consistency of Kyle Shanahan just really dropped the ball. Like, he's great. Look, he's consistently shown how good of an offensive coach he is. But I believe there's something to be said about a coach that is able to find a way to get their team to be more resilient under adversity. And I just have this impression from all the games they've gone, for some reason they don't have it. And you know, when crunch time hits, they've shown over and over again that they cannot succeed. And I feel like that's a coach problem, but. That's just my opinion.
No, I can see that. I mean, he's one of those, like, so-called geniuses, not really much of an energy guy. He's like a more classy McDaniel in a way, a little less edgy. Also, he's a Longhorn.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he doesn't really say that much. I don't know. He's always made my list of, like, top three, which is, that's nothing different than anyone else. But that's the first time I've really heard someone like kind of zag on him, but I think that's fair. I mean, I don't really trust the Niners right now, so we'll see.
If I had to guess, man, I think until they win the Super Bowl, he's never going to get that respect as like an elite coach that he probably feels like he deserves. He needs, you know, it's a rings league, just like every other professional sport. Like, if he doesn't win, then I feel like he's never really going to be in that elite tier of coaching, in my opinion. So until he does that, I think he's going to be consistently, like, below the elites. Like, Belichick. Would you say Doug Peterson is a better coach than?
No, don't. I would not. Give me every time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you there. It's bizarre to me that he must have had a good season, obviously, with the Eagles, for him to go in there with a backup quarterback and beat the Patriots. But why is he a bad coach? Because he's, you know, if we jump over to the Jacksonville game, did you see any highlights from the Jacksonville, like the first
from
2 weeks?
Tonight?
Oh yeah, tonight they got their ass whooped tonight.
I didn't watch anything tonight. I really haven't watched them play much now, but I watched them a lot last season, and it just seems like Peterson really outthinks himself too much. You know,
just granted, too cute.
Yeah, I think he's really guilty of that. I also think, to be fair, I don't love his personnel. I'm a big Brian Thomas fan, but outside of him, I don't think they have that much. I think Etienne's a little bit overrated. I think we're seeing that play out. And then Lawrence, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I expected more from him, and I wasn't even a big fan, you know, but this season, from what I've read, at least, he kind of seems like he's on a bad path, essentially.
They should not have named the stadium after him. That was a huge mistake.
Did they do that? What?
Yeah. It was called the Trevor. At first, it was called the Ever Stadium or something. I don't know. And then they just added a TR at the beginning, and then it became the Trevor something stadium. Everbank, maybe? Trevor Bank? I might be looking it up, but yeah, that's a curse if I've ever seen one. To name a stadium after you, and you have yet to do anything, and it's only your third, fourth year in the league.
I didn't know that. That's bad juju.
That's bad juju. Couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah, man, it's not good. So, and he was terrible tonight. If I look at the stats, like, once again, just throwing picks, over sailing passes, and he's got weapons. That cannot be the excuse, right? And yeah, he may not have it. You know how like quarterbacks have to have like that X factor?
Yeah.
He can scramble and stuff. Yeah, he in terms of what we've seen so far, you've seen a lot of them last season. I feel like we've seen enough now, like as a fan, to say he just doesn't have what it takes to be a winning quarterback. That sounds really vague, but that's just my general feeling. It sounds like it might be yours too.
Oh yeah, I agree. I mean, it's kind of like in basketball, like, do you make your teammates better? That's one of those basketball skills that you don't really see in a box score, right? And then in football, obviously you can't really translate that to most positions, but with quarterback, I think you can, right? You're touching the ball every play. And yeah, I mean, if you're like an energy kind of guy, Lawrence doesn't really bring that. He's got a huge arm.
It's disappointing. There's a small part of me that I always like to root for underdogs, and I've kind of always looked at the Jags as the underdogs. And it's a bummer to see that an offense like that can't succeed. And I really did want them to succeed, but also there was a lot of sharp bettors on the Jaguars tonight. Because, weirdly, I don't know what the stat is, but apparently the Bills and Jags have, like, a pretty even stat line in the Josh Allen era. So it's funny to see them get their just obliterated tonight.
Destroy the Sharps.
Yeah, man. I mean, that was a beatdown. I think, dude, it was 34-3 at halftime.
Yeah, it's ugly.
I mean, that's so bad that you put the starters, you bench the starters in the third quarter.
Right. Just don't get any injuries, basically.
Yeah. But anyways, the Bills look good. This is the third week in a row now that the Bills look really, really good. I mean, Josh Allen just went off again, and yeah, they might be for real. I actually bet on them to go to the Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
I'm mainly betting on Josh Allen. Yeah. So I hope that pans out. But it's looking like it. But it's inevitable, right? Like, I feel like there's always this point in the season where Josh Allen just turns it over and over and over again. So I feel like that's coming. That has to come, right? But I don't know. What do you think about Josh Allen and the Bills? Do you think they're legit?
I was really skeptical, not so much about Josh Allen, but about the Bills as a whole. But I really shouldn't be surprised. I mean, I can't remember the last time the Bills sucked, right? Since they've had Allen, they've been fine. And like, yeah, you can talk about his turnovers if you want, but I know you listen to Russillo some, and he constantly is bringing up his idea about how he doesn't want the quarterback that just never throws picks, which is a little, you know, it's a little edgy, fine, but at the same time, he's got a point in that, like, you want a quarterback who's going to throw down the field. You want someone who's going to try to win the game, and Allen's going to do that. And not many guys can, like, first of all, have the courage to play that way, but then also actually come out on top, and he's consistently doing it.
Yeah.
And their defense has been much better than I thought, frankly, so that's another big part. So I guess credit to McDermott, who I was not a big fan of, but 3-0 is 3-0.
Yeah. Von Miller got his first sack since 2022.
Nice. I actually didn't know he was still playing. There you go.
Yeah, old man still can contribute a little bit, and that's a good spot to do it. Yeah. And they lost their good safeties. They lost Poyer.
Yeah, exactly. Miami. They lost Milano this season before week one, I thought.
Yeah. So it's impressive what they're doing, but there's a case to be made that they haven't played anybody. So let's see how far along the season goes with that Arizona win, because people are saying, you know, Arizona's good. And I guess still remains to be seen, but obviously Miami is bad. Yep. They beat Miami. They beat the shit out of them without Tua, and he was playing bad. And then Jacksonville is probably just bad.
Bad.
So, yeah, so maybe they haven't played anyone yet.
Okay, so who's good in the NFL then?
Bengals. That's a good question.
Cowboys suck. Lamar's 1-2, but they're probably okay, right?
Well, dude, I like Baltimore. For some reason, they got unlucky. They should have beat the Chiefs. They should have beaten the Chiefs. They should be at least 2-1 right now. They really dropped the ball against the Raiders, but I like the Raiders or the Ravens.
Really. Okay. I was like, really? Did you watch them?
But anyways, who is good? All right, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 undefeated teams. All right, it's the Bills, the Chiefs, Steelers, Seahawks, and Vikings. Which out of the undefeated are true contenders and which are fool's gold?
I think there's a clear two, right? Really, you could say there's a clear one, if you want. Chiefs, Bills, I would put in that order.
Gotta be.
Just among the five. And I don't think anyone would disagree, right? And then I would probably put, I guess, Pittsburgh. Honestly, I don't really love them, but like, their defense is so good. And I always thought Fields kind of got a little bit too much hate, even though, you know, he's not Mahomes, of course, or anything remotely close. But if he's just going to, like, manage the game, he's perfectly capable, right? How could he be worse than, like, a Joe Flacco from last year on the Browns. And that's kind of who the Steelers are, right? I mean, excellent defense. They're just going to pound you to death. And then when they need it, they'll just throw one up to George Pickens, who I think is like pretty underrated still somehow.
Yeah.
And then who's left? Seahawks and
Vikings.
I would put them in their own little tier at the bottom, even though they both look good. I mean, obviously. What about you?
Seahawks are questionable, man. I like the Vikings. I've seen, well, mainly their defense. Their defense is flying all over the place. Making CJ Stroud's life a living hell, and then really huge upset against 49ers. They had Debo in that game, so
yeah.
I mean, it's hard to make excuses for them. I think credit mainly goes to Minnesota because they were, in my opinion, from what I saw both games, the entirety of them, and Darnold was really good. And clearly there's something in the water in Minnesota, like in terms of quarterbacks, because lest we forget, he made Josh Dobbs, Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah, excellent coach, for sure.
He's making some bad quarterbacks on other teams, like Dobbs, who's on the Niners now. He made him look good. He made, who was it, Mullins? Or, it doesn't matter. Point is, he is a bit of a QB whisperer. And Darnold is probably his first, besides Kirk, his first good quarterback he's received in free agency. And yeah, man, that's enough. And it looks like they're legit. The defense is good enough with Brian Flores. So they're not as good, in my opinion, as the Bills, Chiefs. They might be better than the Steelers. I don't know. I feel like they're in their own tier, though. I have questions about the Steelers. Okay. Like, I feel like the Steelers haven't... What happens when the Steelers are down 10? They're down two touchdowns. Like,
that's a good point.
Is Fields going to have enough to run a two-minute offense without turning the ball over? Like, they haven't encountered that yet because their defense is so good that they're able to wear teams down, keep running the ball, keep the Pittsburgh offense on the field. So I feel like we have yet to see the true colors of the Steelers until they play somebody good. I'm skeptical, so I'll wait to make my judgment on them. I'm not sure how good they are. They're definitely good right now because their defense is ridiculous, dude.
Yeah.
What's his name? The defensive
MVP. TJ Watt?
Dude, he might win it again. I mean, from what I've seen, he's an absolute monster. And if he stays healthy, there's no reason why he shouldn't win again.
He's playing better than Micah Parsons right now, and it's not really that close.
Yeah, poor Micah. I feel kind of bad for him.
I don't. He's...
Really?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, dude, he's constantly talked about as, like, the best defensive player in the league.
He has been hyped up a lot.
But has he ever actually had a season where he was the best player? I don't think so. And, obviously, I get annoyed, like a lot of fans do, with, like, how obsessed he is with his brand, too, in his little podcast. We're on a podcast now, right? So I guess I shouldn't hate. But I don't know, man. How about you go talk to your locker room rather than to the public? I'm just airing it out. But I don't wanna get started on the Cowboys again, sorry. But yeah, TJ Watt's a monster. And I love Pittsburgh and I love Tomlin, obviously. How could you not?
So the Bengals are now 0-3. So they lose tonight.
That's bizarre.
They lose at home. They lose to Washington with a rookie quarterback who probably did. He threw one touchdown, right? And everybody knows the state of the rookie quarterbacks this year.
I think he threw two tonight, and then he ran for another.
Yeah. Well, anyways, the Bengals, they might be bad, but Joe Burrow is your favorite. So what's up? Is he the problem?
He's obviously not the problem. If you watch the game tonight, he looked great. He looked great last week against Kansas City, too. And you mentioned earlier, like, Baltimore should have beat Kansas City, and you're not wrong. Cincinnati also should have beaten them. And I would argue they actually outplayed Kansas City even more than Baltimore had the week prior.
Yeah.
But, you know, beating the Chiefs is impossible, right, for one reason or another. But you're right that they suck, the Bengals. Not because of Burrow. Their defense is just horrendous.
Yeah, they got holes in
things. Yeah. I don't know what they could possibly do given the personnel that they have. I could think of, like, two, maybe three good players on that defense. Not that I'm, like, you know, the most informed NFL fan ever, but...
Taylor Britt.
The point...
Henderson.
Yeah, even he's getting burned constantly. I mean, he has a great reputation
right
now, but if you give up a 50-yard touchdown every game, are you really a lockdown corner? Probably not. So, yeah. I'm not worried about Burrow for my fantasy leagues, right? So I guess that's something. But, yeah, if I was a Cincinnati fan, I'd be close to giving up. They look...
Listen to this. The Bengals are the... tied for the least penalized team in the league with the Buffalo Bills.
Right now, this season?
And they're up. Yeah, and they're 0-3.
Wow. That's kind of shocking.
Guess who the number one penalized team is?
Cowboys. Am I right?
No.
Am I right? Oh, it's okay, just, let me guess again.
I don't, okay, I just think it's funny how... I know, it's so authentic. You have to hate on the Cowboys. You just assume it's them.
Well, they have been penalized a lot. I really did. Okay, if not them. Oh, I had a good answer, but I forgot it. Miami?
It's Baltimore. 31 Baltimore. Total. They're averaging 10 a game.
Okay. Yikes. That's a lot.
Browns are up there. Texans are up there. And I remember watching the Texans against the Bears, and good God, they could not get out of their own way. Not only is the Houston offensive line looking real bad, C.J. Stroud is doing as good as he can, but holy shit, they are so undisciplined, which is what I would have never expected with D'Amico Ryans' team. I wish I had their stats on hand of last year and their discipline, but apparently, I mean, that game was so hard to watch, the Bears and Texans, and there's just penalties all over the place. I don't know what's going on with Houston, but I'm a little concerned with them too, because they have a good defense, but their offense is not looking so hot.
I'm not that concerned, actually, so that's a good talking point for us. I think they're going to be all right. I think for whatever reason, you know, you're right about Minnesota having a great defense, so that kind of got exposed a little bit on Houston's side, but it's one game from what I've seen. I've actually watched, I think, every game of the Texans, and I think they need to follow more targets to Tank Dell, frankly, and take some away from Diggs. Not that that's going to, like, save their season. They're going to be fine regardless, but I don't know. Maybe try to salvage throwing a little bit more. I just don't see where the holes are. You mentioned the line, and that's kind of fair.
CJ's under pressure. CJ's under pressure.
He is.
But Mixon has had his days. Okay, so it sounds like it's more of like a trust thing. Like you're expecting them to figure it out. They're 2-1. You know, they're not bad. Yeah. I think they're a good team, but I wouldn't consider them a great team. Not yet. Until they got to figure it out, right? I agree. I don't know if they will. That's where I'm skeptical. But it's only week 3, so.
Yeah, I think Nico Collins, by the way, is like potentially a top 5 receiver in the league. He's so fucking good.
He's really fun to watch too. Who he reminds me of? He reminds me of a faster version of Marquise Colston. That's a Saints reference. He was a technician, route runner, and unbelievable hands, tall, lanky, like Collins.
Huge. Yeah.
That's, for some reason, he came to mind. Yeah.
That's a good comparison.
Dude, he's a tight end. That dude is 230, like DK Metcalf.
Right. Like, I was going to say, I think Collins is more athletic than AJ Brown. Who's still great, of course.
Yeah, that DK Metcalf's been playing really well. But
yeah.
Anyways, back to the question. What about 2-1 teams? We just discussed the Texans. So the Commanders are now 2-1, along with the Eagles.
There you go.
And other notable ones, the Lions, my favorite 2-1 team, probably. The Packers, Saints, Bucks. And then you have the Jets, Chargers, and Texans. Not that many. A lot of 0-3 teams.
It feels that way.
Yeah. Well, which out of those do you like? As they're going to be much better. Texans is one, we know.
Texans and Lions in their own tier for me. That was a lot of teams. I gotta think that through. I think the Packers will be fine for sure. I struggle to see them missing the playoffs, at least, assuming Love is going to be fine. I don't really think the Commanders are real, even though I'm a huge Jaden Daniels fan. I think he has probably on a one-way ticket to Rookie of the Year right now. He's incredible, but it's still too early, I think. I think the Eagles will probably win that division pretty handily.
I would really? Say. Eventually I mean, they will?
Yeah. I mean, Vegas agrees, for one. Yeah. And it's just like, who's going to beat them? I don't think the Commanders are there yet. Cowboys, no. Giants, I don't think so. So they'll be in the playoffs.
Upcoming schedule for the Eagles. The Eagles have at Bucks, Browns, at Giants, at Bengals, Jaguars, at Cowboys, Commanders, at Rams, at Ravens. So their first real game.
Yeah, that's a soft schedule.
Yeah, it's probably not until Baltimore. So right. I agree with your take. I feel like with that schedule, they're probably going to win that division pretty easily. So that's got to be a good candidate. I just my hesitation with the Eagles is just I feel like their coaching has just been atrocious. I thought I saw somewhere that Sirianni's first coach to get fired odds are like they're pretty high.
He's leading. Yeah, isn't he like the front runner?
I don't know, but it's being on the list for a good team like that is a concern for sure.
Yeah, anyways. I'm kind of amused watching him on the sidelines for whatever reason. He makes the funniest faces.
He's very cringy. He's tough to watch. It feels like the team is gelling without him, and he doesn't provide any discipline. They're just like, they seem like a bunch of bros like that like to be around each other, and they know they're good, but they don't really have a good leader on the sideline. And it's definitely not Sirianni. He just seems like out of place, fish out of water almost.
Yeah.
From what I've seen.
I don't disagree. I just think it's hilarious as a Cowboys fan. But it's kind of funny. I don't even hate them anymore partly because of fantasy, right? But I just love their players so much. Like you're saying, like Devontae Smith, AJ Brown, Dallas Goedert, and Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, they have too much talent. And all those guys are really easy to root for. They're going to be fine. So, yeah, I don't think Sirianni will lose his job just because he's so lucky.
Yeah, we'll I think so, too. I think they have the best running back in the league right now.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, by the way, I wanted to ask you, because we had a discussion, a text conversation about running backs. So, just out of curiosity, if you had to list out your top running backs, what would that list look like?
Okay, I'm going to go and then you'll go, yeah? This is top 10?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, first off, I wanted to ask, do you want to include guys who are seriously injured right now? So CMC being the big guy. Or is it up to me?
Up to you. I'm probably not going to include anyone that's injured.
Okay, I'll take them off the list then. That's fine. In that case, I'm also going to take out, by the way, obviously Pacheco, who I'm not saying he's top 10, but he was in consideration for me.
Yeah.
And then Kenneth Walker, he would be in my top 10, but he's not like a season ender like Pacheco, but I'm just going to remove him anyway. Just healthy guys. All right, here we go. in the order that they came to mind, not necessarily my actual order, but close enough. I got Bijan, Breece Hall, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jonathan Taylor, Alvin Kamara, who was the topic of our discussion.
Wait, you got Alvin Kamara. Hold on. Boss, pause, back up.
You're already recording. Remember that.
Did you say Gibbs as your three?
In the order that they came to my mind. So I don't think I wouldn't, if you wanted to be literal, I could sit here and think about it for a little bit. I wouldn't have him that high. Probably
I'd put Saquon
much higher. Well, it's because, like, my brain is so wired for fantasy is the thing. So naturally I have Gibbs a little higher than, like, his real life football value. Okay. But I do believe he's top 10 for sure. Without hesitation. So yeah. Bijan, Hall, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jonathan Taylor, Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, Achan, Kyron Williams, James Cook, and then I got King Henry rounding out my top 10. And that's not, again, that's not like 1 through 10. That's just the order that they came to me.
Yeah, mine is relatively close order. Barkley, Kamara, Hall, Cook, Bijan, Montgomery.
Okay. I had a feeling you would throw him in there.
Oh, I love him, dude. He's so good. Yeah. He's so freaking good.
He has your vibes for sure.
Jonathan Taylor.
Great, for sure.
Yeah, he is. Jay Taylor, and then it's pretty close pack of running backs after that, in my opinion. But
hey, have you not said Bijan yet?
I did. Yeah, Bijan's after James Cook. Okay. The reason I don't like James Cook, Bijan is in that top tier running backs, is from what I've seen, at least in Atlanta, the scheme is not ideal for him. Like, I'd like to see Bijan in a scheme like in Philadelphia, because I think that's a big reason why Barkley is succeeding so well. Like, he finally has that space with the zone run scheme that they do there in Philadelphia. It plays to Barkley's strengths, and that would play to Bijan's strengths. Right now, what Atlanta's doing is they're just doing man-on-man classic. It's just, it's not really his style. Like, if you put him in space, man, he's so good at making cuts at the right time and finding the space and then exploding through the hole, or making a hole on his own. But in a scheme like that, he doesn't really have the break tackle ability that he needs to succeed in an offense like that. So it's more of an indictment on the scheme for him rather than him as a running back. That's why I have him there.
Okay.
So, yeah, and then my idea with these running backs is also kind of coupled with the scheme that they're in. Like, you asked me last year where I'd put Kamara. Bro, he wouldn't even be in the top 10. But now it's so nice to finally see him put in the position that made him 2020 Kamara, 6 touchdowns a game Kamara.
Yeah.
He's the best, dude. And I know I'm a homer. I'm a big Saints fan, but...
Yeah, he's great. You're right.
He's currently playing like one of the best backs in the league. So it's hard for me not to put him in the list. And then Breece Hall... We didn't talk about the Jets Thursday Night Football. He's good, but you know who is good? Who Braylon I saw Allen. Play a lot? That dude is solid. Like, yeah, he passes the eye test. He's so explosive from what I've seen.
He's big. I was surprised how big he is.
Youngest player in the NFL, baseball. 20 years old.
Yeah. And then Breece Hall trots out, and he's like half his size. It was weird.
Yeah. But
they're both really good.
And it shows that the Jets did a lot this offseason. They added 2 big offensive linemen. They really corrected things in the trenches because that's how Rodgers got hurt in the first place, was a shitty offensive line.
Dude, Rodgers looks so much better than I thought he would.
Oh, man.
I was amazed on Thursday.
We can briefly talk, but dude, we have to. I mean, first of all, Rodgers will always be, like, I love Breeze. But in terms of arm talent, Aaron Rodgers, He's the GOAT. He is the best.
No one's better, ever.
It's so nice to see him sling the ball around like he was on Thursday night. Man, it was great. I think he's back.
Well, I was going to say, he's like, he missed a lot of throws still. It was weird. But then he was also making those throws, like classic Aaron Rodgers down the sideline, that nobody else can make.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're like a Jets fan, you got to feel great. Not only did he look amazing, but the fact that he left so much on the table.
Right. A lot of those targets were to Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson, yeah.
So at least, so he went 27 for 35, 288, two touchdowns. He had a high completion percentage, but a lot of those misses were to these big name targets. So yeah, there's a lot to gain in the near future. And I think the Jets are going to be much, much better. I mean, the defense is also good. They've got to sign Reddick eventually. Hopefully they don't trade him. But when they add him on top of what they already have, I think they're going to be very good in the AFC.
So I had them winning the AFC East, and now I feel a little bit less confident in that, not because of anything they've done, but because of the Bills. So I'm really excited to finally see them play. I don't know when that'll be, but I imagine it's soon.
Bills play the Ravens next, Sunday Night Football.
Oh, really? Of course. Yeah. There you go.
But they play the Jets 3 weeks from now. So we'll get to see them then. But still, the Bills against the Ravens, definitely looking forward to that because I want to see the Bills play somebody good. Actually, Bills have a tough schedule, man. They go at Baltimore, at Houston, at the Jets, home Titans, at Seahawks, home Dolphins. So not an easy schedule there. But yeah, I really want to see the Jets-Bills play against each other because it's hard to bet against the Bills winning their division, considering how well they're playing right now, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
But anyways, what other teams have we not talked about? I feel like we've talked about a lot.
Really, just the ones that I think anyone would struggle. I'm looking here. Titans, Patriots, Broncos, Colts. We briefly touched on the Seahawks, kind of. We didn't really go in depth. Rams,
yeah. Can we talk about, did you see any Broncos, Tampa Bay highlights?
I saw some of the touchdowns. That's about it.
So Tampa Bay was my survivor pick this year, or this week.
Oh, no. Brutal.
So I'm out. That was a mistake. That was a bad pick by me. I'm going to own that up. That was bad. I was just so, like, enamored with how they played against Detroit. In Detroit, I was like, damn, they might be good. Baker looks good. Let's do it. Let's ride. That was a mistake. they did not look good. And I'm pretty certain now, after seeing their true colors against the fucking Broncos, that they might be bad, even though they're 2-1. Tampa Bay is.
I think they're bad. I was kind of surprised to see them play so well the first couple weeks.
Do you think that like it was... Go ahead.
Yeah. I feel like their run game is just almost non-existent.
It is.
And it's not even like a... It's not a running back thing. Like, I'm not a big Rashad White fan. But it's not about that so much as I just don't think, A, that their line is very good, B, that their play calling is good at all. I don't really believe in Todd Bowles.
Yeah, well, that game against the Broncos just showed the trenches are just not there, and their defense is atrocious. I mean,
yeah, that might be even more.
The Broncos just marched down the field on them. Bo Nix looked like a serviceable quarterback against Tampa Bay. So that, to me, was more of an indictment on Tampa Bay. I don't think the Broncos are any good either.
I don't, yeah.
Mainly because I don't know how I feel about Nix. Nix is definitely an athlete. But as a passer, He
I agree.
Didn't look great to me. So
I wasn't a fan of his points. When he was at Oregon either.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, he just didn't strike me as someone that was willing to challenge a defense in the middle of the field. And some of that was their scheme for sure, but it was all gimmicky, you know? And
yeah.
I also didn't think he was like especially talented with his arm, you know, at least with some guys like, let me see. Even like Will Levis, you know, he's a joke, right? But you could watch him at Kentucky and say, this dude isn't it. But at least he's got like, you know, the arm of Josh Allen or whatever. You could talk yourself into it. With Bo Nix, I really didn't see what the appeal was. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Sean Payton is Sean Payton, but
yeah.
I'll probably hold that take until it's obvious that I'm wrong.
Yeah, me too. I need more from Bo Nix to make me even consider him as a viable quarterback in this league.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I don't think Will Levis is. I've seen enough.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
Yeah.
He's absolutely terrible.
He's pretty bad. I couldn't. I did watch him against Green Bay. You know,
he's my
backup in our league, right? That pick six, in a way, I thought that pick six was like way worse than either of his two awful turnovers from the 2 weeks, because in that it's like, just look up, you know, just look at the defense.
He's got no feel, dude. He's got no vision for some reason. No. He just, you can tell. It's a trope at this point. He does not pass the eye test. It's just, I guess, just something that you develop over the years of watching enough football where you see a guy, and you see someone like him, and it sounds like you agree. He's just not it. He doesn't have it. He doesn't know how to. I mean, there are some people that can play quarterback. That dude is a backup quarterback at best.
That's what he is.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that. I mean, obviously, you know, we're right, or you're right, or whatever. Everyone agrees Levis is bad, and probably the Titans do too at this point. But I picked him up in our league last season after watching, I think it was a Thursday night game, and it was Titans versus Steelers. And it was, I think it was the game after he had, like, his debut where he had, like, 10 touchdowns or something. And I wanted to see, like, was it legit or was it just the fluke? And then he didn't repeat that stat line, and he won't ever. But I saw some throws where I was like, you know what, this guy's good. I think he's got it. Mm-hmm. He was challenging the Steelers defense in the middle of the field. And it was that game where I was like, yeah, I'm going to pick him up, and this will be my backup QB. But no, he just hasn't progressed at all. And it seems like he's gotten worse since then. So
yeah,
rest in peace.
I'm glad it's that simple. I'm glad we both agree on that front. I'm actually surprised I haven't, like, moved on from him sooner. Well, I guess it's unprecedented that Bryce Young, they moved on from him so quickly. So they're probably just going to give Will Levis more of a chance. But if I was a coach, I've seen enough. By the way, we didn't talk about the Panthers beating the Raiders. Just real quick, you're going to know the answer to this now. Who... There's only been one quarterback who has thrown for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns this year. Guess who it was?
Say that one more time. 300 yards and 3 touchdowns.
And 3 touchdowns.
Across the 3 weeks?
Yeah, this year. No one's done it except one quarterback. Include Josh Allen.
Wait. You mean in a single game?
In a single game.
Okay.
Sorry, yes, in a single game. My bad.
Oh, Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton.
Let's go.
Who was good for the Saints. He gets an unfair rap, man. He's good. He's a perennial backup. And I know for a fact he's better than Will Levis. So.
Yeah, he is.
But, man, is that bad for Bryce Young? Do you think, is Bryce Young done? Like, is that it? He's too young, right?
It depends what you mean. I don't think he's done ever getting a start in the NFL. Personally, I do think he's done as far as, like, actually doing anything. I was not really a big Bryce Young guy when he came out of Alabama. But I also just, I'm not a fan of small quarterbacks, and that's, like, kind of, like, traditional thinking or whatever. But to me, that's just, like, I don't know. It seems so obvious. Like, if you can't see over your guys, what are you going to do? And the thing with Bryce was, like, he was super accurate, right? And he could work through his progressions, make the right throw, and hit every part of the field. But even that, like, last year when he was a rookie, the few times I watched the Panthers, he couldn't even hit, like, a basic, you know, check down sometimes. And even when I watched him week two, it was, like, at least one check down I saw where he missed his running back by, like, 3 yards. It was, and some of that for sure is, like, Carolina is just a terrible environment, right? So I don't want to pile on him too much, but I don't know. I don't think he's capable, unfortunately.
Is it just a hype thing? Or is it just like a mentality? Is it a mental thing? It seems like it's more of a mental thing.
To me, it's both, which is rough. It's like, if it was one thing, you could try to work around it. But I really do think it's both. I think it's physical and mental now that he's had such a bad time.
Yeah. You know he's thinking about it. I mean, if you're in that position, yeah. Football players, they listen to the media, right? They hear everything. So if you're in his position and you start to hear about, like, he's too small, that now feeds into the mental, and it adds to the lack of confidence. Like, yeah, maybe I am too small. Like, there's nothing I can do about my height. So maybe I'm just screwed, right? So yeah. I think that it's mainly mental, because there's so many quarterbacks that are short that have been great. Drew Brees, WTD.
Really?
Yeah. Kyler Murray's way shorter than him. He's doing fine.
Okay. But how many of, like, even those guys, I think, were bigger than Bryce, though. I guess maybe not bigger, Kyler, but yeah. Brees definitely was.
Yeah, he was.
And then with Kyler, he obviously is, like, a success story. I'm not going to hate on him too much. But I don't think he's, like, you wouldn't mistake him for a first overall pick, knowing nothing else. I guess maybe he was. No, he was. Sorry. That's funny.
Also, Kyler is dummy thick. That boy thick.
Yeah, he is. Bryce is not.
No, I was just about to look up. Don't look it up. How much do you think Bryce Young weighs?
I'm sure he's listed over 200, so probably like 215, but I bet he's not even close to that in reality.
Yeah. He, according to the internet, he's 205. Now, how much do you think Jaden Daniels weighs?
Oh, 200 flat. He's a skinny guy.
According to the internet, he is 209.
But he carries it better. Okay.
That's funny you say that, because Jaden Daniels looks skinny to me.
He is skinny.
But Bryce just looks significantly shorter and skinny. So there's just no way he's 200 pounds, right? He looks 185 easily.
He does. He's literally my size, if not even smaller, which is crazy.
Right. Yeah, I think his true stats are Bryce Young is 5'10", 185.
That's what I think, too.
Yeah, which is... that's not good.
Baseball. No.
Yeah, truly. He, apparently, I heard a rumor that he has to stand on his tippy toes to throw checkdowns.
Dude, yeah. I saw some highlights of him jumping to complete some.
Is that right? NFL. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
God.
It's rough. That's right? Really bad. Yeah, you don't want that. I mean, it's like, it's fundamental. Why would you ever jump?
That's so damning. Yeah, I think he's done, dude. I think that's it for him. I think how he has shown over the course, he's got plenty of data. And with Andy Dalton succeeding, what team isn't going to look at that information and say, how can we be confident that just because you're young, I've seen enough to see that you probably don't have what it takes. You've been given plenty of opportunities. So, yeah, it's
maybe the Titans
I don't think so. Maybe Cowboys trade for him?
No, I said the Titans. No, I mean, somebody will give him a shot, if not to start, at least to be their backup. I would think.
I would not be paying anything higher than a fourth round pick. That's how strongly I feel
I wouldn't
about
even
it.
I wouldn't even pay that personally.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Somebody will pay something, yeah.
Yeah, what did Lance go for? Like a fourth
rounder, I think. Maybe more, yeah. I forgot. It was too much. And at least Trey Lance looks like an NFL player.
Yeah. All right, well, it's already 11. How about we call it a pod?
Yeah, that was a good first one.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Did you wanna, well, before we end it, what do you think about doing like a little Eddie's Corner? You just moved to Detroit. Give me a little something about your life. I wanna know what's going on with you.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, well, there's not too much that you don't already know. My life's mostly kind of boring. But I'll talk about my animals is like the first thing that comes to mind. So as you know, we have 3 dogs, which is probably already too many pets. But on top of that, me and Jamie decided that wasn't enough for some reason. So when we were in Austin, there was a litter of kittens that had just been born when we moved into that house on our block. And so when they first showed up, I mean, we just assumed they were like, you know, stray cats or whatever, which they were, but you know, they would hang out and then we'll just like leave. And we weren't sure if anyone was like taking care of them. And it was 4 of them. And Jamie immediately fell in love with one of them, mostly because of like his tail, which is missing. And so it's like a little ball, a little rabbit tail kind of.
Oh, cute little nub.
Yeah, it's pretty adorable. So it's understandable. Not that that's like, you know, that important, but this is Eddie's Corner. So his name is Spook. So he's one of the cats that we decided to keep.
Oh, you kept the Spook.
We kept 2 cats. Yeah, Spook was one of them. And then we also kept his sister, who this is actually kind of related to the pod. So this was last fall, right? And so we moved in late August, something like that. So football was starting and the cats were hanging out. We were feeding them occasionally and then eventually we brought them inside. But anyway, she had named Spook. And so he was immediately like, you know, one of our animals.
Spook is a great name. I'm going to have to steal that.
Yeah, he's a black cat. It is great.
Oh, I should have known.
Yeah, I'll never find a name as good as that to match anything. But she gave me the freedom to name one of the other cats. And but by the way, we didn't keep all 4. We kept 2 of them. So only 5 animals. But anyway, the other one, the one that I named, is a she. She's a calico. And so it was football season. And I know you're in our dynasty league. You're the commissioner. But my redraft league with my San Antonio friends, last season I had CMC. So he was, you know, that was a special season by him. So I decided to name this other cat McCaffrey. So we have Spook and we have McCaffrey.
McCaffrey.
And, yeah. And she kind of hated it, but I think she kind of likes the name now. I think it suits the cat's vibes.
Why do you think she hated it?
I think she resented the fact that I needed to bring football into everything, which I do. But I don't know. I guess it was also that's a little amazing. Too masculine, maybe. But I thought it kind of suited the cat, and I still do. And that's the name now.
Oh.
But I no longer have McCaffrey, thankfully. The player in fantasy. So that's Eddie's Corner. I'll try to have something more interesting next time.
No, that was good. I mainly just want to hear about what's going on with you, so I'm satisfied.
All right.
Yeah, but would you like to hear? I didn't come ready for this,
yes.
But
would yes, you like I to would.
See what my corner is like?
Yeah.
Well, I just had a roommate move out, and
Josh,
unfortunately, yeah, and unfortunately, I. Made my dog Fenrir alone. So I've been strongly considering and communicating with my friend Augie, right, and looking for another dog to adopt, and hasn't gone well, unfortunately. It's been like a month or so, but I'm in dire need of another animal in this house. As much as I would love Fenrir to be best friends with the fish that live here, it's not working out yet. But anyways, my mom just told me that she adopted a cat, and it's a Maine Coon cat. It's big. It's huge. It's like,
oh, hell yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah, really. And really sweet cat. Her name is Mia. I got to hang out with her a couple weekends ago for a minute, and I was like, dude, I gotta get a cat. So I asked my mom, and she was like, yeah, she said that she got her from a litter of Maine Coon cats. And
nice.
She inquired, and they said that I can have a cat whenever I want. So
nice.
Currently, Blake, my other roommate, he's allergic to cats. But the plan right now is they're willing to hold on to this cat as long as I want until I'm ready for the point where I can adopt that cat.
Dude, nice. I've never seen a Maine Coon in the flesh, but I've always wanted to meet one.
Really?
So yeah, please.
Oh, really. Shit.
Yeah, they're cool.
They're so pretty. This cat, apparently, somebody that listens to this can correct me, but apparently Maine Coon cats are like not usually very nice. I don't know. I don't know what you've heard. But
yeah, I haven't heard anything. I just think they're cool.
Yeah, but this one not only is cool, Mia, she's so sweet and like did a really good job of like adapting to the house that my mom lives in now. So if she's any indication of that litter of Maine Coon cats, then I'm pumped that there's a good chance that it's not only just a really nice cat, but also a cat that's really willing to vibe with Fenrir, because Fenrir is going to need some sort of I'm doing it for him, really. He needs some sort of entertainment throughout the day while I'm working and stuff. So that's coming down the pipeline, but not official yet, but that's new.
Nice. Well, best of luck with that. Is it just you and Blake then?
Yeah, it's just Blake and I. And gotcha. The plan is he's going to stick around potentially through December. So as soon as I could adopt a cat would probably be around January. So we'll see.
Nice. Well, that's dope.
I hope
he's doing all right.
Well, yeah, he's doing good. He's a lazy boy, but I feel bad for him. I feel like he's bored. So I got to get him somebody. But anyways, that was our corner, and that was our first pod of the NFL. I hope if you're listening to this, there probably won't be a whole lot of listeners, but that's okay.
That was a long one, too. There's no way
you
made it this far.
Oh, my God. How long? It's probably been about an hour and 30 minutes, at least.
A little bit more than that.
That's a solid pod length. We covered pretty much everything in the NFL, so that's pretty dope.
That's true. We need an editor if we want to be serious, but I'm not willing to cut it up.
Well, we can cross that bridge when we get there. Anyways, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
All right. Love you, Simone.
Well, you don't have to go off now. I just stopped.